My sister and I both receive blessing. Our dad and mom both are so have been so instrumental in our lives from day one. One thing we were just talking about this the other night that he said to us almost daily when we were little is, "I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it."
Love is love. Time is time.
I did receive the blessing from both of my parents, and my mom and I were at dinner last week, and I was telling her about the book, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, we did that book when when your dad and I were in Sunday school together, like a long time ago." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And she said, "Yeah. Do you feel like that you got the blessing?" And she was like, "Because your dad always was so intentional to try to give you the blessing."
My husband did not receive the blessing, and I did, and so it's been fun to kind of watch that transition in my husband take place, because his father never told him that he loved him. He was never hugged, you know, by a male figure in his family. And now it's so funny because my dad and Ben will hug, and, "Oh, I love you," and they're just very affectionate, and and he's not that way with his own father.
I learned where, you know, how many generations that's gone back and how many generations it could affect, and I want to be that change factor. I've made the decision, like, when my husband walks in the door, I'm just going to drop whatever and hug him. Like, you know, constantly hugging my kids or giving my kids kisses. And I have to, it's so hard. It's a hard decision for me. But 10 years down the road, it's gonna come natural. In the sense, I feel like I'm turning around and trying to bless my mom and my grandmother in that way.
We say our prayers on our knees before, but once the lights are off, then, you know, I'll say, "Let mommy bless you," and we'll go through our whole little thing. And if I, you know, if it is a hurried night, I'll say, "Mommy, you haven't blessed me yet." They really, and then, you know, if I skip a word, he fills it in, and I'm shocked that they know.
You know, we ate it up. Even now, I tell my kids that. "I love you, and there's nothing you're going to ever be able to do about it."
Hi, everyone. I'm Kurt Bruner, and thanks for listening. Must have been 20 years ago or so that I first met Dr. John Trent. At the time, I was just a little worker bee at Focus on the Family, answering the mail, and he would come in, and he was an author and one of the broadcast guests, and of course did seminars across the country with his partner, Gary Smalley. And we struck up a friendship way back then. He's the real deal. He's such an authentic guy, and we've been friends ever since. And in fact, the last few years have partnered together with the Strong Families Innovation Alliance and other things to help churches create a culture of intentional families. Perhaps more than anything else, though, that he's ever done, John's book, The Blessing, has had a profound impact on millions and millions of lives. And I've heard from so many people who have found his insights inspirational and helpful as they deal with both what they did and didn't receive from their parents. More importantly, though, as they begin the process of giving the blessing to their children, to their spouse, and to the others God has put in their lives. He's also got other resources such as Bedtime Blessings, a great tool to start this habit with younger children that makes it very, very easy. So pick up some of those resources. But for now, let's hear from John as he presents an overview of the concept behind the blessing.
Now, in this section on the blessing, and it's a section that talks about one of the deepest needs in every person's life. Now, let me try to illustrate to you what I'm talking about. You know, again, typical kind of an otter move. I would go very often with my daughter, Carrie, would take her to the mall when it was my turn to babysit and to take Carrie and give Cindy a break. And so we would go up to the local mall and we'd stop at Mrs. Fields and get some fudge, and then we'd go over and get a Coke, and then we'd stop and get some other junk food at the chocolate shop. And I would bring her home, and she would be so sugared out. You know, she would be just bouncing off the walls, and then I'd hand her to Mom and leave. And so Cindy said, uh-uh, no more of this. You are turning her into a toxic waste dump. So I had to quit feeding her all that stuff, but she could get one treat. She could get one treat. And one of the things she used to love was a big gumball machine. Now, this was one of those big ones, you know, the big kind of jawbreaker gumball machines. And you'd put in your quarter and flip the handle, and out would come a gumball. And then she'd put it in her little cheek, and it would puff out, and she thought that was really neat. Well, here's what happened one day. She's about three at the time, I guess, right around three, three and a half. And we go up, and I give her the quarter, and she puts it in the gumball machine that she's used before, flips the handle, and nothing comes out. So I give her another quarter, because I thought, well, maybe it just didn't go down right. Flips the handle, nothing comes out. Now, try explaining to a three-and-a-half-year-old who can see the gumballs right there that she can't have them. I mean, she's put in her quarter, she's flipped the handle, but she can't get the gumball. Didn't go over real great, as you can imagine. Well, you know what? Try explaining to a 33-year-old or a 53-year-old, or like we've done, to a 73-year-old, if this is Mom and Dad's blessing, if this is their love and their acceptance, there's some people, and there's some of you in this room, who've put in an emotional fortune. You've put in an emotional fortune trying to get the blessing from Mom and Dad, and you've never got it. Some of us have done that for years and years. I have. So what we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about a concept in the Old Testament called the blessing that's so powerful. It's literally the most powerful method we know to really communicate unconditional love to a person. In Genesis chapter 27, we see a scene that was repeated over and over again in Old Testament homes. In fact, it's still repeated today in Orthodox Jewish homes. And that was the blessing of children. And here's the blessing, a special blessing for the firstborn involved. It says, "Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau. And he said to him, 'My son.' And he said, 'Here I am.' So now Isaac said, 'Behold, I'm old. I don't know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die.'" Do you get the picture? Here's a son who's waited all his life to hear these words of blessing. Because in an Old Testament family, he had one opportunity to receive it, and here it was. So he goes out to go hunting, and you know the story, don't you? Do you remember back to Sunday school? As soon as one twin leaves, who comes in? The other twin. So Esau leaves, Jacob comes in, and what happened was that the younger stole the older's blessing. See, in the Old Testament, you not only had one opportunity, once the blessing was given, it was irretractable. It was irrevocable. Well, when Esau hears that he's missing out on the blessing, how did it affect him? Listen to what he says. "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.'" What's he crying over? He's crying over that intensely personal experience of getting the blessing from his dad. Unless you don't think he's that tied up, he repeats again and says, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he lifted up his voice and wept. Now he gets a blessing of sorts from his dad, but it's nothing like what he wanted. And you know what the sad part about it is as we go all over the country, we hear those same words, maybe not the exact words, but an echo of them, with people telling us, men and women, "I never got my mom and dad's blessing. Please bless me, Mom. Please bless me, Dad." So here's what we want to share with you this morning. Number one is I want to talk about what's it like to grow up in a home where you miss the blessing, where you feel more like Esau than Jacob. And then the second thing is that every time an Old Testament parent blessed their child or their children, there were five specific things that they did. So we're going to talk first of all about what's it like to miss the blessing, and then we're going to look at the five ways that you can communicate the blessing to your children or to your spouse or to a friend. They're the same principles that work in any close relationship. And they're the same patterns that's always repeated in the Scriptures.
Love is love. Time is time.
So let's begin, first of all, by talking about what's it like to grow up feeling like an Esau. For everybody that misses the blessing, there tends to be four things that happens in their life. And here they are. For anybody that misses the blessing, number one is they tend to get a great deal of anger that they carry into the future. They tend to get a lot of anger. Remember 1 John chapter 2, anger pushes us into darkness. Here's the second thing. They tend to have a lot of fear. A lot of fear. 1 John chapter 4 says, perfect love casts out what? Fear. Guess what? You can reverse the equation. You can reverse the equation. See, fear has the capacity to make you far less loving as a person. Well, a lot of people that grow up where there's a lot of anger and emotional explosions, they have so much fear in their life, it can be hard to trust, it can be hard to attach, because they're so fearful and they hold that inside their life. Well, here's the third thing that happens very often to people that miss the blessing. And that is they do have a difficult time cleaving to another person in a close relationship. See, it's hard to reestablish or to recreate what you've never experienced yourself. It's hard to create that. And in Genesis 2:24, for example, it says, for this reason a man shall what? Leave father and mother and cleave to their wife. Leave and cleave. A lot of people who miss the blessing, they've never left home, so they're never really able to cleave in a close, intimate relationship. The fourth thing that can happen to a person if they miss the blessing, this is unquestionably the most damaging and the most important, is missing out on our earthly parents' blessing can dramatically affect the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Let me give you a classic example. Again, we get lots of letters, lots and lots of letters on the book we did, The Blessing. And one man wrote us, and this is typical of the kind of letter that we receive. He wrote and he said, you know, when I was 9 years old, on Father's Day, I decided to do something really special for my dad. So he decided, his dad was a real big-time perfectionist and used to manicure the lawn, do it just so. But the yard was in need of being trimmed and mowed and stuff. So he decided for Father's Day, I'm going to mow the yard for Dad. So he spent all day mowing and raking and edging and sweeping. I mean, he does as good a job. And what does he think he's going to get from Dad when he finishes mowing the yard? He thinks he's going to get the blessing. Well, here's what he gets instead. He's in the picture window watching when Dad drives up, because he's been sitting there forever waiting for Dad to get home. And Dad drives up, never comes in the house, just walks all the way around the yard, because it was obvious the yard had been mowed and the hedges and stuff. Walks all the way around, finally goes into the little, he's in the Midwest, finally goes into the little storage shed where all the tools were, and then comes out, sees his son in the window and beckons him to come on over. Well, the son walks over to the shed and he's thinking, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the blessing. Well, instead, the dad flips the mower over on the side and shows him where with the blade he must have either hit a rock or maybe ran into the sidewalk and dinged the blade. And he chews him out for about 20 minutes for being irresponsible with machinery. He said, what else did you break? And goes on and says things like that. And here's what the dad said on Father's Day. He said, here's your punishment, son, for doing this. I'm not speaking one word to you beginning today for 3 months. That's your punishment. And he didn't. He was with him in the house all the time, wouldn't say one word to him for 3 months. Now, we hear that as adults. And what do we think about that dad? We think that's sick. I mean, it's wrong. Now, when a 9-year-old hears that, what do they think? They think, I'm sick. I'm the problem. And here's what he wrote us. And this is one of the reasons why you need to learn to give the blessing to people, is because this is what we consistently hear. He writes and he says, you know, because I never felt loved and valued by my earthly father, I have a terribly hard time ever believing that my heavenly father really loves me. And I've never once felt truly forgiven. Now, you know what? Does anybody want to leave that kind of legacy to their child or their spouse or their friends? No, we don't. So how can you make sure that you give the blessing and don't withhold it to a person? Well, here's what I want to do now, is I want to share with you in just real quick capsule form the five elements of the blessing, the five things that were always a part of the Old Testament blessing. Number one is every time, without exception, that the blessing was given, New Testament or Old Testament, it always involved meaningful touch. Meaningful touch. Now do this right now. Lean over to someone, spouse or friend, anybody around you, and just shake their hand, but then look at them in the eye while you're doing that. Shake hands and just say hello and look them in the eye while you're doing that. So just shake hands. How you doing? You might want to go, say valuable. Okay. Now guess what happened? Now look back at that person for just a second. Look back at them for just a second. Guess what happened when you shook their hand? Their hemoglobin level just went up. I mean, do they look excited or what? No, they don't look excited, but their eyes did dilate. See, when you touch a person, the hemoglobin is the agent in the red blood cells that carries oxygen. You just increase their endorphin level. And that's the beta blockers for pain. So you made it better able for them to be, you lowered their blood pressure. Physically, you did about 14 things just by shaking their hands that positively encourages them. So physically, you bless a person. Do you remember what it said in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 27? Remember that dad says, come close and hug me, my son. Now that's not the word for an Aunt Ethel hug. Did you ever have an Aunt Ethel? You know, that was the one you're not sure if she really liked you. And she'd always do this A-frame hug, you know, where she was out and pat you on the back like she was bringing up gas. You know, have you ever, you know, that kind of person? Well, I had an Aunt Ethel like that. That's not what it says in the scripture. That word for come close is the same word that's used in the Old Testament of armies falling upon each other in battle. I mean, he's saying, give me a bear hug. In Genesis chapter 26, it says that Esau was 40 years old, just before the blessing incident. Well, if Esau is 40, how old is Jacob? 40, they're twins. I'm a twin, so I got that just like that. So here's a 40-year-old son, and the dad saying, come close and hug me and kiss me. How old is the average average child across the United States when the dad stops meaningfully touching them? Do you know? 8? 9, if they ever start. See, I grew up in the kind of home in Arizona where it was okay to, you know, kiss your horse but not your kids. And I would venture to say that there was a lot of us in this room. In fact, let me see the hands of those of you who came from a home that was not real huggy-touchy. Let me see your hands. See, a lot of us. A lot of us. That's very uncomfortable. It was hard for me to do. But guess what? Without exception, people who bless others, meaningful touching is crucially important.
Past is past, line for line, and it's getting so hard to find.
Here's the second element of the blessing that's crucial, and that is, it was always verbalized. Remember, he says, come close, and then he speaks a blessing. Christ spoke a blessing to the children. I mean, it's got to be verbalized. I can't tell you how many times in our counseling office we've had a child say, you know, my mom and dad, I mean, they just assumed that I knew. And how many parents have we had say, well, they know, I don't have to tell them. Let me tell you, if you don't tell a child that they're valuable, you never close the loop when it comes to their really feeling loved and accepted. And the light of unconditional acceptance will not go on if you don't verbalize it, if you don't close the loop. Again, I think I mentioned I grew up in a single-parent home. My mom and dad divorced when I was 2 months old, so I didn't even meet my dad till much, much later, high school. During part of that time, for about a year and a half, my grandparents came and lived with us. There were 3 boys under 2 when my dad left. And we had a rule. My grandfather was a very perfectionistic, did things by the book. And I know spanking is very controversial today in a lot of quarters. But let me tell you what, in my home growing up, there wasn't even a mild discussion. I mean, there was no controversy. I mean, you got spanked. And in fact, he used one of those razor straps. Remember, he always used a straight edge, never did shift over to a regular razor, always used a straight edge. And he had one rule that I hated in particular, and that was the street light was right in front of our house. And there was no fudge factor. We had to be home before the street light came on. That was the rule. So we'd be out riding our bikes. I remember one time we come screeching up, and sure enough, blink, it goes on just before we get there. And oh, so that was a two-swat offense. So I walk in, and my grandmother goes, "Go down the hall. Your grandfather's waiting for you." And I go, "I'm not going." You know, and she goes, "Do you want three?" And I go, "No, I'll go." So I walk down, and I never realized, see, I always went first. I always went first because I hated to delay, you know, punishment. I said, "Let's get it over with." So I go in to get my two swats, and whack, whack, and then Jeff gets in, and then my grandmother tells me, "Well, go down and get your grandfather and tell him dinner's ready." And I go, "Okay." And so I go down the hall. Now, do any of you have an affectionate name for your grandfather? Anybody like Papa or Pappy or who's got one that? Okay, or Papa, Papa, that type of a thing. Well, let me tell you, my grandfather, he looked like Robert E. Lee, white hair, big beard, you know. You called him grandfather or sir. None of this stuff. And you would knock on the door and ask admittance. You didn't just bust into his room. So I go to knock on his door, and the door is open about a crack. So I push it open, and he's sitting on the edge of the bed crying. And I thought, oh my God, I had never seen that kind of emotion. I said, "Oh my goodness, what in the world is going on?" And my grandfather beckons me over to him, and I thought, oh, this has got to be a 50-swat offense, you know, catch him crying, you know, so I figured I'm going to get pulverized. And he just takes me in his arms and hugs me, and this is the only time he ever said this. But he said, "John, I just want you to know, it hurts me so much to have to discipline you boys, but I love you so much, and I want you to grow up to be good young men." And gave me a big hug. And let me tell you, I didn't want to do anything wrong for a week. I mean, it was incredible. Well, about 8 months later, my grandfather had a cerebral brain aneurysm, which is a great way to go because a blood vessel burst, and he was gone. He was with the Lord before he hit the floor. But I got to hear it. I got to hear it verbalized. You know, the unfortunate thing is, there's some of you who are never going to hear it. And I hate to be the one to tell you, but from a mom or dad, maybe they never heard it. And they don't know how important it is, but some of you may never hear it verbally. Because, you know, I don't know if I will ever hear it from my dad. I spent years waiting to hear it and hoping I would hear it. My dad had a massive heart attack. It's been about a year ago now. And they called us and said, "You better rush to the hospital." And so my older brother came and I came. My twin brother was coming up from Tucson, where he was working at the time. And we got to the hospital first, and they were just getting ready to wheel him in. And I wrote down Psalm 34. Now, my dad is an old ex-Marine, you know, kind of one of these guys that doesn't really care about, you know, God or man and could care less about spiritual things. And I just wrote down Psalm 34. This gives you an idea. Typical old Marine. He has a big heart attack, drives himself to the hospital, collapses in the emergency ward. And they're going, "Who is this?" So it's a typical old Marine. So they put him up and get him upstairs, and we get up there, and I read him Psalm 34, which is a great psalm of comfort to anybody in trials. And he goes, yeah, right. But the nurse told me later, I left it by his bedside, and he folded it up and put it in his hand when he went into surgery. But I remember saying to my dad, just before they wheeled him down, I said, "Dad, hey, I want you to know I really love you, and I really appreciate you." And he looked up at Joe and I and said, "Well, I guess I ought to say something." And that's the closest he ever came to really saying it. I know he was probably saying it in those words, but I hate to be the one to tell you, there's some of you that may not even hear that. But you can learn to speak it, can't you? If you have lips that work and a mouth that speaks, or even if you've got a hand to write with, you can verbalize the blessing. Meaning meaningful touch, spoken message. Here's the third one. The third one is what we call attaching high value. See, the word bless literally means to bow the knee before somebody valuable. Well, always the blessing that was given in the scripture said, hey, you're significant, you have great worth. Now, do kids pick up on whether or not they're valued in a home? Hey, they have a radar system that is going all the time. There's a guy that we heard about who, real workaholic and works all the time. He was finally home on a Saturday, and he was reading the paper, and his little, about seven, eight-year-old son comes up to him and stands right by his chair. Well, he's trying to, you know, ignore him, and finally realizes his son's not going away, so he slams down the paper and goes, all right, what do you want? He goes, Daddy, I've got something for you. Hold out your hand. And so Dad holds out his hand, and this little boy drops a bunch of wadded-up dollar bills and some change into his hand. And the dad's confused and said, what is this? He says, well, Dad, this is $8.54. It's all I've got, Daddy, and I'll give it all to you if you'll just stay home and play with me today. Now, you know what? That's a child who's saying, bless me, please. I know work's important to you. I know your career is. I know your hobbies are. Am I important to you? I mean, he's willing to give every cent he has for his dad's blessing. You know what? Treating kids like they're incredibly valuable, honor, is a major part of the blessing. Meaningful touch, spoken message, attaching high value. Here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth element. The fourth element of the blessing is picturing a special future for the person to be blessed. Remember in Genesis chapter 27, now may the Lord bless you. And it's a future-oriented blessing, committing that person to God's care and also committing to them, may the Lord design for you a beautiful, wonderful future. Now, we can't have the same kind of prophetic impact that the patriarchs had when we bless our kids. But you know what? Kids tend to be literalists when it comes to the way that their parents, what the parents say about them. They tend to be literalists when it comes to what their parents say about their future. Some of you grew up in homes where you heard, you know, what a bum. Or don't take algebra, that's for the smart kids. Or hey, don't go to college, you're just going to get married. Have you ever heard statements like that, that basically take your future and deep six it? Well, there were two men in a church. Now, this wasn't even this guy's parents, because you can do this in a lot of different ways, but there were two men in this one guy's church that we heard about that changed his life because they gave him this one element of the blessing. And this guy that I'm talking about is a radio talk show host. He's in the Midwest, and Gary and I went to be on that show, and we walked in, and you don't usually meet the people ahead of time. We walked in, and this guy's a paraplegic. He's been paralyzed from the waist down since birth. There was an accident in the birth canal and a spinal accident, and he was paralyzed, and he's always been in a wheelchair his whole life. But these two men, when he was in junior high, he said, that was the most insecure time in my life. I had acne, you know, I'm in a wheelchair, I don't know what God's going to do with me. I even thought about killing myself, but then I thought, no, that might hurt, I don't want to do that. So he didn't know what he was going to do, he just knew he was miserable, and here's what these two men said to him. Independently, they didn't conspire together, they just said, you know what, you have such a great voice, I wouldn't be surprised if God ended up using your voice to really serve him someday. What does he do today? Christian radio. See, a light went on. Hey, maybe I can be used. See, when you give a person a picture of a special future, it can set the course of their whole life, and it's so important. So you've got meaningful touch, spoken message, attaching high value, picturing a special future, and here's the fifth element of the blessing, the becoming a student of each child that you want to bless. You've got to uniquely bless each child, because you may have, like in our home, my twin brother, you know, always wanted to be a doctor and is today and studied real hard and real detailed and perfectionistic. My older brother's a golden retriever and very sensitive, you know, and of course then there's the family otter here. Well, my mom, as a single parent, gave me all five of the elements of the blessing. You know, one way I know that is all you have to do is walk into her home today. If you walk into her little condominium today, you'll see a bookshelf. And up in the bookshelf are three different shelves, very prominent. And up in the top shelf are a bunch of medical and genetics books. Now, my twin brother is one of the directors of the Cancer Center at the University of Michigan now, and he is very, very bright. We're fraternal twins, so I can brag on him. He got all the smart genes somehow in the womb. It ticks me off. You know, in fact, it's true because, like, I called him the other day, and I said, well, hey, Jeff, tell me what you're working on. And he goes, oh, you wouldn't understand. And I go, all right, you know, you're all right. So up on this bookshelf is a bunch of medical and genetics books in my mom's house. How come? Because my mom actually took a beginning genetics course at the University of Arizona when he was there because she wanted to understand what his field was and how to talk to him. Now, I'll be truthful, she flunked the course. But what does a slightly used genetics textbook say to Jeff? It says, hey, guess what, Jeff? You got it. As much as I can give it, you got it. Now, what about, you know, the other shelf? It's got a bunch of counseling and theology books on it. Those have been my interests. Now, obviously, as a mother, she's written the books that I've, you know, written. You'd expect that, you know, any mother. But she's also gone beyond that, so she could talk to me about things. But you know what? There's another shelf with a whole bunch of heavy equipment digest magazines. Now, my mom's a rheumatoid arthritic. She has two artificial ankles, two artificial knees, and one artificial elbow that didn't work. So it's basically fused. Never remarried. There were no displaced homemaker programs back in 1950 when my dad left, but she became an expert not only at work, she was the very first woman to ever be on the cover of the Wall Street Journal. She ended up as a vice president of her company, but the best thing that she does is to bless her kids. And so here on her bookshelf is a bunch of heavy equipment digest books. Do you know any 70-year-old arthritic women that subscribe to heavy equipment digest? Anybody know of any? Well, you know one, Zoa Trent, because that's what my older brother was involved in. And we were, you know, I remember at Christmas, you know, she's at the table talking to Joe about D9 push cats and grade levels. And, you know, and so I go by and I go, Mom, lighten up. I mean, come on, you're 72. Well, yeah, I mean, you're not even supposed to know about this kind of stuff. So... two things just to wrap it all up. Number one is, if you never got the blessing, first of all, guess where you can get it on an everyday basis? From your Heavenly Father. See, I've never gotten it from my earthly father, but I've got some spiritual fathers in the faith, spiritual mothers, brothers and sisters. The first time somebody shared with me about a Heavenly Father that loved me, I ate it up because I needed it. I wanted it. So number one, if you missed the blessing, probably your parents never got it, so they didn't know how to give it to you. But you can get it from the Lord and from your spiritual family. But the second thing is you can learn to give it even if you never got it. You see, it's never too early to bless a person, and it's never too late. It's never too early, and it's never too late. Ever since, with both of our kids, with Laura and with Carrie, from the time they were hatched on up, we've sang them a blessing song. Every morning when they wake up, we sing them a little blessing song. And I won't sing it to you because I'm sure you don't want to hear it. But, okay, one person wants to hear it. Good, all right. There has to be one. There has to be at least one person for me to sing it. So, and here's what we sing her. Now, it sounds a lot better when Cindy, but we go, good morning, how are you today? The Lord bless you and keep you throughout the day. And we rub her little tummy, you know. Well, a while back, I remember Carrie calling out down the hall. We just put her to bed for about, you know, the fifth time. And so she calls out and she goes, night, Dad. Night, Mom, and don't forget to bless me in the morning. See, she knows now at almost 5 years old, she knows that on a daily basis, she's going to get it. Because here's the second thing. It's never too early because we never know when it's going to be too late, do we? We never know when it's going to be too late. I was doing a family camp in Texas, and there was a guy, I put my hand in my pocket. And that's not the best thing for a speaker to do, but that's life. And I just tend to do it. It's a habit. And I remember there was a guy there, he had his left hand in his pocket the entire time we were there, 5 days. Even me, as insensitive as I am, finally figured out there must be something. He must have had a stroke or something. Well, you know what he had? He had come specifically to hear about this topic, the blessing, because he had just been diagnosed as having MLS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. He's passed away now, but at the time he had roughly 14 months to live. And you know what he did? This wise dad who knew the kids would need the blessing even beyond him, is he wrote a letter to each child. At the time, his kids were 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old. And he wrote a letter that's given to the mom that's in a safe deposit box, so when they graduate from grade school, they have daddy's words of blessing. When they graduate from high school, they have a letter from dad. If they get married, if they have a child, there's a letter of blessing from dad that'll be there because he knows how important it is. And I hope you know how important it is now, too. Lord, again, this isn't the easiest topic to talk about. It's very hard for some of us. But help us to realize we can get the blessing. We can even give it to a parent. Return the blessing, because a lot of them that never gave it to us, they didn't get it. Maybe we're the one that can reverse the curse in a family. And Lord Jesus, for all of us, we can learn through your power and your spirit to be people of blessing.
And I'll sing you to sleep. I'll sing you to sleep. I'll sing you to sleep. A lullaby. A lullaby.
Every one of us has someone in our life that we need to bless. That could be our children, that could be our grandchildren, that could be our spouse, that could be our parents, that could be a sibling, that could be someone who's just desperately yearning to receive from us what perhaps they didn't receive from anyone else, or perhaps that no one else can give. So let's step up and do that, shall we? Let's become more intentional than ever about becoming a people of blessing. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.